As a young adult, finding the right path to your future can feel overwhelming. It starts with YearUp United's tuition-free job training program, Career Pathways. If you're without a bachelor's degree but have a high school diploma or GED, you can get skills-first training to succeed in the industries you're passionate about, all while earning a weekly educational stipend to offset basic expenses. From there, you'll have access to internships and hands-on experiences with Fortune 500 companies. And with YearUp United's job placement services and personalized coaching and mentorship, you can put your knowledge, skills, and most importantly, confidence into practice. Apply to YearUp United today and take the first step toward achieving the career you want. Visit yearup.org to learn more.
Creatine is easily one of the most researched supplements on the planet, but I hit a point where I realized just trusting a pretty label wasn't enough. I needed actual verification. That's why I made the switch to Momentous Signature Spec Creatine. Instead of chasing flavor trends, Momentous set a brand new benchmark by producing their creatine in a pharmaceutical facility with reverse osmosis water purification. It undergoes a rigorous 6-stage testing process with 4 independent agencies, guaranteeing 10 times fewer impurities, tighter heavy metal limits, and tests for microplastics and PFAs. For my own routine, having that level of purity is non-negotiable. And the fact that it's an ultra-fine powder that mixes seamlessly with no clumping makes it effortless to take every day for power, recovery, and brain health. If you want to try Momentous Signature Spec Creatine, head to livemomentous.com and use code FFT for up to 35% off your entire first order. That's livemomentous.com, promo code FFT for up to 35% off. livemomentous.com, promo code FFT. We're talking league-winning fantasy options here on Fantasy Football Today on CBS Sports Network, and we're excited to help you win your fantasy leagues. I'm Jamie Eisenberg, that's Dave Richard, that's Heath Cummings. Before we get into the quarterbacks, which is where we're going to start with the show today, got some news on Chuba Hubbard impacting Jonathan Brooks. We're going to talk about Jonathan Brooks as a potential league winner, but Chuba Hubbard has a hamstring injury that's going to make him week to week. That's according to ESPN. Just real quick before we, you know, get into the full Brooks conversation, when are you drafting Jonathan Brooks now?
Probably round 7. I had him in early round 8 before this news.
Round 6-7 turn. Right at that point when you want to start taking chances with your draft picks in fantasy, he's the top name on the list.
Yep, Jonathan Brooks, one of the best feel-good stories, coming back after not playing in 2025 with his second ACL tear that he suffered in 2024. Now everybody's going to be excited about him. But let's get excited about some quarterbacks, because that's obviously where we're going to start here. And we're talking about guys that could be league winners. So what we kind of done with this is one league-winning quarterback. Obviously, Josh Allen would be the guy that we all said if we're just taking out costs, but we're factoring in where these guys could get drafted and how they can help you win your fantasy league. The guy for you, Heath, is Brock Purdy. For you, Dave, it's Patrick Mahomes. For me, it's Trevor Lawrence. Their average draft position on CBS Sports right now is all in round 9, which is kind of interesting that that's where we went, and we did not discuss that. So let's start with Brock Purdy, because a very polarizing guy to a certain extent, because he has been a very good fantasy quarterback, but a lot of managers don't draft him to be a number one option.
I just don't think people have ever let go of the fact that he was drafted as Mr. Irrelevant in round 7, because if you look at what Brock Purdy's done since he's entered the NFL, first in yards per attempt, second in touchdown rate, first in success rate, and even in fantasy, over the last 3 seasons, he's the number 4 quarterback in fantasy points per game. Last year, through week 17, he was the number 1 quarterback in fantasy points per game. And I was talking about this on social media a little bit yesterday.
You? No way.
The craziest projection that I could make is if I just gave the 49ers the same number of pass attempts as last year and gave Brock Purdy his career passing efficiency. Because that'd be 574 attempts at 8.6 yards per attempt, which is almost 5,000 yards, and it'd be 35 passing touchdowns. That'd be the QB1.
Yeah, it'd be QB1 by far. He averaged over 24 fantasy points per game in 9 games last year. Now he's got Mike Evans. Now he's got Dijon Stribling. Debo Samuel's back in town. George Kittle's healthy. And Christian McCaffrey. We know the inefficiency with him as a runner was a little bit because of just how game flow was and the offensive line for San Francisco. A little bit's on CMC, too. But Brock Purdy is really in a great position to have a big year. And so, too, is Patrick Mahomes. And I think it's
criminal. We're going to get to Mahomes in a second.
I didn't know who you were.
Well, you mentioned the names there.
Does he have those guys? Because we don't have Kittle on the field yet, dealing with the Achilles injury, still on the pup list.
Okay.
Mike Evans has already missed time in training camp with an injury. Stribling missed a little bit of time as well. Christian Kirk has not been able to practice. Another name that Ricky Pearsall is not going to be part of the team this year. Can we trust Brock Purdy? Now, last year he did all this with a very different receiving core because a lot of guys were banged up. But can you trust him to get by if a lot of these moving parts are not going to be on the field consistently?
I think, and listen, the one thing people will say when you talk about how good Brock Purdy is, well, it's Kyle Shanahan. And I think for fantasy football, you shouldn't care because Kyle Shanahan's still there. He's still calling the plays. It's the same thing. And if you look at the track record of Kyle Shanahan, they've had injuries upon injuries upon injuries. They had Jimmy Garoppolo, and it was still over 8 yards per pass attempt. I just think in this offense, as long as Purdy himself stays healthy, it's going to be kind of like the tagline on fantasy football today. Some combination of Kittle, CMC, Evans, Debo, and DeJuan Stribling making a lot of noise early in the season.
So round 9 is the value for him, but he's actually QB 13 off the board. You have him a little bit higher than that, though.
He is QB 8 in my projections.
Okay, so you're willing to reach a little bit for Brock Purdy or just play the board and see how he falls. All right, let's talk about Mahomes now. So another injury-related situation coming off last year's ACL tear. The big thing that we saw from Mahomes last season, which was different than the 3 previous seasons when he was not a great fantasy quarterback, was the rushing production. How much does that maybe take away from what Mahomes can do this year if he's not going to run to that level? Because A, probably not going to do it because of injury. B, may not have to because the run game is going to be a little bit different.
And he said himself that he doesn't want to run as much as he did last year, but push comes to shove. I'm sure there's going to be moments where he does scramble with the football. I'm not going to expect him to do what he did last year when it comes to running the football. But I can't help but think about what he gains having Kenneth Walker in the backfield. Walker looks like he's actually a really good pass catcher. We've seen it from him before in spurts, but the Chiefs seem to really be leaning into that in Walker's game. And if Walker forces defenses to change how they play against Kansas City, then there's going to be one-on-one situations open downfield for Patrick Mahomes to hit. I went back and I looked at his 2 seasons when he had a running back average north of 15 PPR points per game. One was 2018. That was Kareem Hunt. Hunt was a monster that year, and so was Mahomes, over 32 fantasy points per game. 2023 was the other year. It was Pacheco. Pacheco barely over that 15 PPR point per game mark. And Mahomes had a floor season. You talked about it, 20.9 fantasy points per game. I think if we're drafting him with that absolute floriest floor of 21 fantasy points per game, and it's round 9, that's absolutely brilliant because we know what he's capable of doing. We know what that ceiling is. And last year, for crying out loud, 28 fantasy points per game in his first 6 games. That was without Rashee Rice. In his first 8 games, Rashee Rice was back for 2 of them, almost 29 fantasy points per game. I can't leave somebody like that on the table. Even if he's my number 2 quarterback, I'm taking him late in every draft I can.
But you're basically out, right? And that's surprising because you're the Chiefs guy.
Completely out. And it's more of a projections thing than a Chiefs thing or even thinking that they're not going to be good. It's just that I think the arrival of Kenneth Walker means that they run the ball more than they have recently. They've been one of the most pass-heavy offenses in the NFL. And I think Mahomes coming off of the leg injury means that he runs the ball less. So if he has fewer pass attempts and fewer rush attempts, and I don't think they really added anything as a weapon in the receiving game that's going to make him more efficient.
Cyrus Allen, baby.
Cyrus Allen's doing very well so far, but it wasn't just last year. He's had at least 300 yards rushing each of the last 6 seasons. And the one year that he didn't, that 2018 season, he ran for 272 yards and 2 touchdowns. It's normally been 2 to 4 fantasy points per game that he's got from running. I hope he gets 1 fantasy point per game from rushing this year, and I think he probably throws less than he has in a long time.
I would prefer to draft him as a backup. I know you're taking him as a low-end starter. I think you're taking him as a backup as well. But then you get into the mix of guys that might have more upside than him when you talk about Tyler Shuck and Kyler
Malik
Murray
Willis.
Now.
You throw Malik Willis in there. It's crazy as it sounds.
Well, listen, it's just, what your view of name versus game, because everybody loves Patrick Mahomes' name. He's still being drafted. Again, I think he's QB, he's QB 14 right now. So Stafford's 12, Purdy's 13, Mahomes is 14, but again, all in that round 9 range. So we'll show a Twitter poll here about which of the quarterbacks that we are talking about here, who likes them the most, who likes which of these guys the most. For me, it's Trevor Lawrence. Again, going ahead of these guys, he's going as QB 10 right now. I'm just excited because we hear Parker Washington this and Brian Thomas that, and we know Jacoby Myers and Travis Hunter. this is the guy that's orchestrating this offense. And what we saw last year in Liam Cohen's system, a lot more running, certainly the rushing touchdowns, 9 rushing touchdowns, which was a career high. I don't think you can expect that again. I know Heath will say the word that everybody loves, regression. But he did average over 30 fantasy points per game in his last 8 outings when you factor in the playoffs. And now we're talking about just getting more comfortable. And again, a better version of Washington, hopefully a better version, a healthier version of Travis Hunter. And then the maybe resurgence of Brian Thomas, which makes things fun. Plus you have a run game that's probably gonna take a little bit of a step back, at least early in the season, because of the change from Travis, at that point ETN, Travis Etienne, now going to Bashel Tutte and Chris Rodriguez. So for me, I would almost pass on all the top tier quarterbacks because I target Trevor Lawrence based on where he's going, and he's one of my favorite breakouts for this year. So let's show you the Twitter poll. Again, these are just factoring all 3 quarterbacks. You could probably guess who's gonna win this one because I think a lot of people are excited about Trevor Lawrence, but—
They should be.
So which quarterback would you rather have this season, all 3 being drafted in round 9 using the CBS Sports ADP? Trevor Lawrence, about 1,100 votes, getting 56.9% of that, Brock Purdy 20.3%, and Patrick Mahomes 22.9%. Now, you have it ranked Purdy over all these guys, right?
Oh, yes. I will say this was not this close early on. I think Brock Purdy was around 10% of the vote, and I tried to influence the vote to make my guy look better and just shared with the people on Twitter that Brock Purdy was better than both of these guys on a per-game basis last year and has been better than both of these guys on a per-game basis for the last 3 years.
Yeah, listen, you know, history matters in some of these cases. Mahomes obviously has a great history. We'll see if Trevor Lawrence can finally have that consistent season because we've seen it in spurts.
You know what the lesson here is? You can wait a little bit on quarterback and come away with an absolute stud. You don't have to take one early in your drafts. We've seen the ADP for Josh Allen in round 2. That's still too early. All those other elite tier quarterbacks that you mentioned, you don't have to take them early unless they just absolutely fall to a steal price. This is the reason why. You can get one of Lawrence, Mahomes, Purdy. You can make the argument for any of them to be the best.
Yep, it's going to be fun to draft quarterbacks this year. All right, we're going to take a break right now here on Fantasy Football Today. When we come back and get into some running backs, Heath and Dave will debate. Breece Hall will get more into the Jonathan Brooks news that Chuba Hubbard is going to miss some time. That's next here on FFT.
Football season is here and my routine has completely fallen apart. But my busy schedule isn't waiting for me to catch up. I was desperate to start eating real food again without spending hours in the kitchen, and Factor made that transition totally effortless. They offer chef-crafted, dietitian-designed meals that are ready in just 2 minutes with zero prep and zero mess. Over 97% of users agree that Factor helps them live a healthier life, mostly because every single meal eliminates over 175 banned ingredients, so you know you're getting clean nutrition. Their weekly menu features over 100 nutrient-dense options, and I've been loving their garlic roasted chicken and green beans. It's delicious, satisfying, and keeps me on track no matter how chaotic my day gets. I use Factor, and you should too. Let's eat real. Head to factormeals.com/FFT50off and use code FFT50off to get 50% off and 1 free breakfast item per box for 1 year while supplies last until October 31st, 2026. That's code FFT50off at factormeals.com. FFT50off at factormeals.com. See website for more details.
All right, before we get back to football, I want to tell you about something I learned recently and something that's worth passing along. It's called We Share Health, and it's an alternative to traditional health insurance. If you don't get health insurance through work and you're stuck paying boatloads for your own health insurance, you should know that health insurance isn't your only option. More than 1.7 million Americans have chosen an alternative called healthcare sharing, and one company I learned about is We Share Health. They're a nonprofit, and their members pay up to 60% less than they would for traditional health insurance. You still get access to a nationwide PPO network with over 1 million physicians, plus unlimited telehealth. So if you're between jobs or self-employed, this could save you thousands of dollars a year. And with over 1 million physicians in the network, there's a good chance your current doctors are already in it. If this sounds interesting to you, take a few minutes to check it out. Call 1-888-WE-SHARE for a free quote. That's 1-888-WE-SHARE. Or check them out at WeShareHealth.org.
All Welcome back to Fantasy Football. Today we're talking about league winners, and now we're talking about running backs. So we're each going to give you two guys I think that qualify as league winners, and then we're going to finish it up with three running backs that could be league winners. One kind of got a little bit of a boost with an injury that happened today, so we'll talk about Jonathan Brooks a little bit at the end of this segment. But let's talk about a couple guys for you, Heath, and that's Breece Hall and DeAndre Swift. And let's just get right to it. You love Breece Hall.
Yes.
You're a little bit concerned about Breece Hall.
Not even a little bit, a lot.
Make your case for, make your case against.
So, I mean, I think the case for Breece Hall has to start simply with how awesome he is. He has been an efficient rusher and receiver ever since he entered the NFL, averaging 4.5 yards per carry for his career, 6.6 yards per target. He's actually one of three running backs since he was drafted that have at least 250 targets and have averaged at least 6.6 yards per target. It's Christian McCaffrey, it's Bijan Robinson, it's Breece Hall. And I don't think it's a stretch to put him in that class with those types of guys. And so the next thing is he going to get more work than he did last year? Because it was a disaster in terms of the split and the offense. I think the offense is better. I think the team is smarter and gets him a larger share of the work. We've already seen reports from camp that kind of indicate that's going to be the case. Would not be surprised at all if Breece Hall had an 80-target season.
Let me admit to something that I haven't admitted to yet. I hope I'm wrong on this because I agree on the talent part about Breece Hall. And he was very efficient last year, 4.4 yards per carry, over 9 yards per catch. That was awesome. Jimmy, he had 17.4 touches per game and couldn't even get past 13 PPR points per game. He had 8 games last year. I almost said 10 games under 8 PPR points. It's 8 games under 10 PPR points last year. What's changed in New York? They still want to use three running backs. Frank Reich has this track record of using multiple running backs, one on running downs, one on passing downs. I think Breece Hall is good. I'm worried about this Jets team putting up a lot of points. I'm worried about Breece Hall becoming more efficient than he was last year when he was already efficient, already getting a lot of work, and still putting up a bad number. I think he's worth it in late round 4, early round 5. I think round 3 is way too soon.
And his average draft position right now is 31.7, so round 3 is basically where you're going to have to pay the price to get Breece Hall, but I see both sides of this. I just think the Jets are going to be better, and I think by an extension of that, their best player is going to benefit. So we'll see how that impacts Breece Hall. You got DeAndre Swift as a league winner as well, not going at the same range, going more in the round 4 spot for Swift. How concerned are you based on what we saw second half of the season with Kyle Monongai? And now we know Monongai's healthy after, you know, being a little bit banged up. Does Swift have league-winning upside if he has a little bit of an anchor?
So I think he has league-winning upside at his consensus ADP, which is in round 5, because it allows you to draft those elite wide receivers and still get a surefire starting RB2 in round 5. But I also think that the Monongai battling with injury is kind of a good reminder, and it applies to Swift, it applies to Kyren Williams, these guys that we rank as RB2s who are in timeshares, but the offense is just so awesome that they're still worthy as good mid-range RB2s. The contingent upside they have, we usually think about that for Kyle Monongai or for Blake Corum, that we're drafting these handcuffs that are kind of flexes that could be must-start running backs. But if something happens to Kyle Monongai, we could see just not like, and listen, Swift beat ADP last year. He was a lot better than that. Every year. Right now, he's being drafted right around RB23. He's probably going to slightly beat it again. But if Monongai goes down, he's a top 10 running back.
And then we have the new wrinkle of Ben Johnson saying that he wants to have the highest scoring offense in NFL history. That could help both those guys. So hopefully it's good for Swift and good for Monongai. Going to show you a Twitter poll here of which running back would you rather have this season, Breece Hall or DeAndre Swift? Again, not comparing two guys that we're fighting about here, just two guys that Heath is excited about, and no surprise based on the ADP, the Twitter poll as well. Breece Hall getting 55.8% of the votes. All right, Dave, a couple guys for you that you think could be league winners are Chase Brown and Omarion Hampton. Let's start with Brown, because right now his ADP puts him early in round 2, 14th overall. We all think he should be a round 1 pick.
I think he should be a top 10 pick, Jamie. And you can make the case that he should go ahead of Christian McCaffrey. And that sounds crazy on the surface. But when you think about all the flaws in McCaffrey's game and the upside in Chase Brown's game, it does make sense. Obviously, you can think about the upside in McCaffrey's game and the flaws in Chase Brown's game. And then obviously you put McCaffrey ahead of it. But remember last year from week 8 on, he averaged 19.4 touches per game and 21.2 PPR points per game. Any player that's got upside for 20-plus PPR points is a first-round pick in fantasy football. It was ludicrous when he was going in late round two. That was about 2 weeks ago in ADP. Now that he's a top 15 pick, it's a little bit more reasonable. If I'm one of those fantasy managers with a late first round pick, and I like a lot of receivers that could make it back to me in round two, I'm taking Chase Brown in round one and not thinking twice about it.
It's exciting to see if he can perform like this over the course of the season in a contract year. I think that definitely helps. And then you have almost everybody in Cincinnati talking him up, Joe Burrow saying that he's as valuable as Ja'Marr Chase. So really excited to see what Chase Brown can do. Amari Hampton's a little bit tougher to trust at this point because of what Mike McDaniel said. So their offensive coordinator, former Dolphins coach, comes out and says, we're going to use all three running backs, basically alluding to Amari Hampton, Keaton Mitchell, and Kamani Vidal, all taking part in this offensive game plan. We don't buy that, but it's still something to keep in mind that there are going to be multiple guys getting touches here. What's the ceiling for Amari Hampton?
I think the ceiling for him is 20 PPR points per game as well, and you don't have to take him in round one. It's just the whole idea that he could lose touches to Keaton Mitchell and maybe a few to Kamani Vidal, but I think Vidal is the backup running back there who will get just a couple of token snaps a game as long as Amari Hampton is healthy. And I've had the debate back and forth about Hampton versus Jeanty, and I don't mind people that want to take Ashton Jeanty ahead of Amari Hampton. But remember this, Amari Hampton last year had a higher points per game average, better efficiency, better consistency than Ashton Jeanty. His offensive line, look, it improved for Jeanty. It's better for Amari Hampton.
We hope.
New
we
play
hope.
Caller yeah. in LA is better than the new play caller in Las Vegas. And so maybe I'll concede that Jeanty will catch more passes than Amari Hampton, but Hampton should be able to blow him away in every other statistical category. I think he's the workhorse that Mike McDaniel leans on the most, just like McDaniel leaned on Devon Achane in Miami, and you saw what those numbers were like, over 20 PPR points per game.
I think we might have, that might be a good debate about whether the new offensive coordinator in Los Angeles is better than the one in Las Vegas. The Kubiak's a little bit of success himself as well. So I think Hampton could be a league winner. I have a hard time seeing how Justin Herbert and Ladd McConkey make the big leap and Hampton is the league winner. I think one of the things that gets overlooked a little bit about the Harbaugh-McDaniel combination is we're probably going to get a team with a pretty low play volume. And so
I think that helps the run game.
They could go run heavy, and it could be awesome for Amari Hampton, and he could be worth a first round pick. And then it's probably going to be a bad time for Justin Herbert and Ladd McConkey in terms of fulfilling their current ADP, or that could be more balanced. And then I think Hampton's probably being drafted just about right. I'm interested to see what the rotation is like. Does Vidal have any snaps? It's like a LaQuint Allen situation, or does he have any snaps that actually matter? Right. And then what does Keaton Mitchell do? Because I remember loving Keaton Mitchell during his rookie season and those big explosive plays.
Yep.
And I don't know if there's anybody in the NFL that's more addicted to those types of offensive plays than Mike McDaniel.
I think it's fascinating when you look at average draft position, because really starting at the back end of round one through the middle of round two, you have Ashton Jeanty at 12.7. You have Chase Brown at 14.1. Saquon Barkley at 14.4. Derrick Henry at 15.4, Amari Hampton at 17.5, and Ken Walker at 22.5. And I think there's just so many different ways you can approach that, because the two older players of Barkley and Henry, Henry coming off another fantastic season, expected to get fed again. Barkley, new offense coordinator, expected to bounce back a little bit, probably not to 2024. We love Chase Brown. You know, we think he should be a first round pick. But Hampton and Jeanty and Walker, I think, sort of are the ones that are the most polarizing. So it's going to be fun to see how fantasy managers draft them. And to Dave's point, you can get two of those guys if you pick at the back end of round two. All right, let's see what the Twitter X audience likes in terms of Chase Brown versus Amari Hampton. 1,600 votes on this one. Chase Brown running away with it, though. 77.1% of the votes compared to Hampton. All right, two guys for me that I'm excited about as league winners. Dave mentioned one, Ashton Jeanty. The other would be Ken Walker. So kind of just wrapping up all these guys in the same range. I'll start with Jeanty. Dave made the reference to better offensive line, better play caller. Yes, those things are definitely going to happen for him. So he gets Tyler Linderbaum, the center from Baltimore, Colton Miller, who missed a lot of time last year, coming back at 100%. At least that's the hope. And then Clint Kubiak, to Heath's point, did very well last year with the combination of Zach Charbonnet and Ken Walker, or Walker and Charbonnet, however you want to pair it, in Seattle, in helping that team win the Super Bowl. So I'm excited about Jeanty because, yes, Mike Washington could have a role, but all we hear is this is going to be the guy. We don't have to worry about maybe even whatever small role Keaton Mitchell and Kamani Vidal have. I think Jeanty's in line to still be very successful on passing downs. Had 55 receptions last year. This team is probably going to be trailing a lot. And I think the quarterback play, whether it's Kirk Cousins or Mendoza, or just both, is better than what we got from Geno Smith last year. At least that's the hope based on what we saw. So it's funny to think if you look at Gentry's season last year and you just say, okay, he was the 16th best running back. That's a really good rookie season. We just inflated the expectations did with Bijan Robinson, his rookie season, and then he came back in year two and was absolutely dynamic. So that's the hope for me with Gentry. I would take him in round one. I'm very excited about the situation for him. And I love the fact that he's cut out sugar. He's lost weight. I think we'll see a little bit more explosive Ashton Gentry. Ken Walker's been very polarizing for us for years because we see the talent, we see the explosiveness. We did not see a lot of work in the passing game. However, if you go back to 2024, he only played 11 games that year. He was on pace for 71 catches, which I think is very remarkable if he can do that. And Dave sort of mentioned this in the Patrick Mahomes discussion, that this is a weapon that they can use and I think will surprise a lot of people. I don't know if 50 catches are. I'm curious what you have him projected for. I don't know if 50 catches, but I think north of 40 is certainly on the table for him. Mm-hmm. And then if he gets anything close to plus 50, plus 60, we're talking about a guy that not only could be a league winner, but might be a top five running back if this offense operates like I expect it to, which is going to be shifting more toward a little bit more run-heavy approach. So what's the projection?
I've got him right around 40 catches right now. And I think that certainly the drumbeat from training camp has been you need to increase that. It's just so difficult to know when we're just like hearing from people watching practice that they are practicing this thing. Now, do you want to adjust your season-long projection based on that? But it sounds like that there's more upside than that.
And you guys are a little bit more cautiously optimistic on Walker, not because I'm all in. Like he's basically, he might be a round one pick for me at this point.
Wow.
Like he's 13, you know, so yeah. He may be, I just keep seeing it. I'm surprised the ADP reflects that. There's only four receivers going in round one. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, like, I'm hesitant to just push. CeeDee Lamb's the last one in there for me. Like, just push.
Usually when you get like this, you make the switch.
Yeah, you know,
I can see Walker being top 12 for you.
I just
like
think that Walker is just trending in the right direction. And if we didn't have any concern about injury.
That's one.
He could be awesome.
And the other is that Patrick Mahomes is still the quarterback of this team. And while that might change just how much they throw, and especially what they do in the red zone, and when they get near the goal line, that used to be all Mahomes. Now it's probably going to be way tilted toward the run game and toward Kenneth Walker. But I still think push comes to shove, Patrick Mahomes is going to have his way with this offense, and he's still going to have opportunities to make big plays. It doesn't mean that Walker's going to do nothing. I'm with you. I think he's really in a great situation to survive. I think fantasy owners have just been snake bit so many times by the injuries with Walker, and they don't know who to get as the backup there in Kansas City. So if they take Walker with a round one or a round two pick, how do you safeguard against that? I think you just throw caution to the wind at this point and say, good running back, great offense. We've seen them run the ball before. Take him with at least a top 20 pick.
Yep, and not even going in the top 20. 22 right now is his average draft position. This poll actually surprised me. So Ashton Gentry versus Ken Walker. I thought this would be a runaway for Gentry. It's actually Walker winning the Twitter poll right now. 1,600 votes. He's getting 54.7% of the votes compared to Gentry at 45.3%.
Who tweeted that out?
I did.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, because
you're the Ken Walker guy.
But, I mean, I have Gentry ranked ahead of Walker. You know, so if you're following that logic, then you know it would still make sense to go with Gentry. All right, let's talk about three guys that could be league winners that are not going in the same range, at least as of now. One of them for you is Jonathan Brooks. The other one for you, Dave, is Rico Dowdle. And for me, it's Kenneth Gainwell. So, Heath, let's start with Brooks because, again, we got the news right before the show that Chuba Hubbard is going to miss some time with a hamstring injury. You said round 6 through 8, right?
I said 7. I think Dave said 6 or 7.
6 or 7. So, okay, yeah. So could it get higher than that?
Oh, that's the thing, is it may have gotten more difficult for Jonathan Brooks to be a league winner today because his cost is going to go up, and it's easier to be a league winner in round 7 or round 8 than it is to be a league winner in round 4 or round 5. And if he breaks a big run in their first preseason game and Chuba Hubbard's not practicing in 10 days, 6 or 7 is not going to get it done. It's going to be a round 5 pick. I think that there were signals throughout the summer that Carolina had big expectations for Jonathan Brooks, and in fact, were kind of hoping that he would become their starting running back. He has a better pedigree and more upside than Chuba Hubbard. They love him as a pass catcher. He's probably still going to be a 1A, though. And so I'm a little worried if we get up to the point to where it takes a round 5 or even round 6 pick to draft him, that it gets a lot harder to make a profit at that. But as long as you can get him in round 7 or round 8, I absolutely love it, and he can win you a league there.
Dave, I want to ask you about Rico Dowdle because we know our audience watches our podcast, listens to our show, watches this show. You made a case on the bust show today on FFT
that
the Steelers running backs could be a bust, and now you're saying Rico Dowdle a league winner. So just make sense of where you're coming
from. It depends on where you're drafting him. If you're drafting him in round six, it's just too rich for my blood. The latest or the earliest would be late round seven. That would consider Rico Dowdle, and I view him as the 1A running back in Pittsburgh. This is a head coach in Mike McCarthy that literally brought Rico into the National Football League, stuck with him when he had an injury, and then gave him an opportunity to be a 1,000-yard back in Dallas the last year that they were both there. And we saw what he's capable of doing last year in Carolina. He had some monster games that helped fantasy managers in the middle of the year. Now he's going to Pittsburgh. That offensive line should be okay. We know that offense will want to be balanced. I think Rico Dowdle can do a lot of the same things that Jaylen Warren can do, i.e. the pass game. And he's been better in goal line situations than Jaylen Warren, basically over the course of their careers. So I think that there's a real opportunity for Rico Dowdle to split with Warren, but also win at the goal line. And that's the type of running back that I'm looking for in the middle of drafts. I like Brooks better. I'd rather gamble on Brooks than Dowdle. But Dowdle would probably be next in line for me as far as running backs to take a shot on in the middle of a draft who could turn out to be huge winners.
Can he be a league winner, though, if Warren is healthy?
Yeah, because I think he can score more touchdowns than Warren while catching about as many passes.
All right, this one for me is mostly PPR related, but Kenneth Gainwell's in a spot where he's going to share work with Bucky Irving. We, at least at this point, know Bucky Irving's healthy, and that's the best part, so you're still drafting Irving first. But we did hear earlier this offseason, 1A and 1B, in terms of how these guys are going to be used. And Gainwell got enough of a contract that I think he's going to have a role, certainly on passing downs, and that's what we're hearing. Here's the thing I keep going back to when we talk about these guys, and again, Heath, I'll ask you what your projections are for Gainwell, because on Sportsline, he's projected for 60 catches, had 73 catches last year. Since 2021, there's been 44 running backs with at least 50 catches. 38 of them averaged at least 13 PPR points per game. There were 80 running backs with at least 40 catches in that span. 68 of them averaged at least 11 PPR points per game. So if you're involved in the passing game, that gives you such an advantage and gives you an opportunity to be successful and potentially a league winner for this format. And again, I think Gainwell's role in the passing game, different coordinator, same head coach, but what we saw from Rashad White, three of the last four seasons, 50-plus catches. So I think if we could talk about Baker relying on a pass-catching running back and Zach Robinson, for what it's worth, last year gave Bijan Robinson over 100 targets, clearly not the same player, but obviously Kenneth Gainwell is going to catch whatever number. What's the projection for you?
I've got him at 45.
Okay, so 45. So that would give him the chance to be north of 11 PPR points if he hits that number, just based on what he's capable of doing. And then we saw last year, also, well, you know, going back to Pittsburgh, when Jaylen Warren was out, Gainwell, in the couple of games that he got a chance to start, he was an absolute monster. So he's an easy guy for me to take in the mid rounds. You're taking him right around round 9, which I think is definitely worth the upside. Another guy that sort of falls in this category for me, just I wanted to give one, is Rashad White, because I think he's going to be that guy for the Commanders as well. But three guys here that we have that we all like that could certainly supersede their ADP and be potential league winners. Jonathan Brooks now getting the big boost because of Chuba Hubbard's injury. Let's show you the Twitter poll here of which running back everybody likes most. No surprise, it's going to be Jonathan Brooks. And again, this was, I sent this out last night before the news, so take that into account. But as you see here, Jonathan Brooks, 58.7% of the vote, Rico Dowdle, 23.3%, and Kenneth Gainwell, 18.1%. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We come back and get into the wide receiver league winners that we like. We'll tell you about some guys that are going early, some guys you can take with some mid-round picks as well. That's next here on FFT.
Support for today's show comes from Square, the platform behind so many of the local businesses we all love. Whenever I go to my local sports bar on the weekend, it's packed. The energy is electric, and the line moves like lightning because they use Square. I just tap my phone, grab my wings, and even earn loyalty points without missing a single play. It's just so seamlessly put together. But Square is way more than just a slick register. It's an all-in-one system that lets business owners take payments, manage inventory, handle staff payroll, and track sales from one easy dashboard. Whether you run a bustling sports bar, a bike shop, or a boutique, Square simplifies the daily grind without requiring an IT team or hidden fees. Plus, sellers using Square checking save an average of 44 hours a month thanks to instant payouts. If you're starting a business or running one that deserves better tools, Square helps you sell, manage, and grow without slowing down. Right now, you can get up to $200 off Square hardware at square.com/go/FFT. That's square.com/go/FFT. Run your business smarter with Square. Get started today.
I recently took a trip to Memphis for the FFT Draftathon. While we were there, we also got to experience a little bit of what makes Memphis so special, including some of the food the city is famous for. We had Memphis-style barbecue with pulled pork, ribs, and all the classic sides. It was an incredible trip, especially getting to spend time with everyone involved. enjoy some great local food, and support a cause that means so much to all of us. And while I was away enjoying the trip, my place back home was just sitting empty. It got me thinking, if you're going to be away anyway, why not put that space to use? While you're traveling or taking off for a long weekend, you could list your space on Airbnb and earn some extra cash while you're gone. And when big events come to your city, like a major game, concert, festival, or convention, travelers are looking for places to stay. Listing your space on Airbnb can be a way to welcome those visitors to your city while putting your space to work and earning some extra cash that you can put toward your next trip. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back to Fantasy Football. Today we're talking about league-winning wide receivers, and we each have a trio of guys we think could be league winners for 2026. For Heath, you have George Pickens, Zay Flowers, and Luther Burden. Dave, you got Malik Nabers, Jalen Waddle, and Parker Washington. For me, it's Devontae Smith, Emeka Buka, and DJ Moore. So Heath, we'll start with your guys, and I have some questions for you in regards to each of these wide receivers. So let's start with Pickens. Can he be a league winner if CeeDee Lamb is healthy?
I absolutely think he can. He averaged 15.4 PPR fantasy points per game in his last 11 games with CeeDee Lamb last year, and that was while scoring 3 touchdowns in those 11 games. We all know George Pickens has the ability to score double-digit touchdowns in a season. If he just has that type of usage and scores the touchdowns at his round 2/3 cost, he could be a league winner.
This is one of your favorite players, and that's Zay Flowers. So the question for you is, the ceiling for Zay Flowers is blank.
First round value. He was top 5 in route participation, top 5 in target share, top 5 in yards per route run. He just needs the Ravens to throw the ball more than they did last year. And last year they were 15% below Lamar Jackson's career norm. He also needs to score touchdowns. Those two things happen. He's a top 5 wide receiver.
And then with Luther Burden, we got this groin injury now that we're dealing with. You brought up something good on our breakout show yesterday that it's kind of saving you from yourself because a lot of people getting excited about Luther Burden. You said you would have been taking him in round 3 if we had continued on this hype train. Now when would you take Luther Burden, and how concerned are you that this injury may linger?
I think you have to look at him at the end of round 4 or the beginning of round 5. He's going to have a round 5 ADP. It was around 48 before the injury, probably going to be closer to 58 now. And so the great thing about that is, before drafting him in round 3, you had a much smaller margin of error in terms of finding some upside beyond his cost. Now, if you can draft him in round 5, the upside's still the same. The groin injury doesn't change that. There's a lot more room for him to make a profit in round 5.
Dave, when you look at Burden, and we know there's Colston Loveland, and we know more importantly from the receiver conversation, there's Romo Odunze, who was awesome to start the year last year and then had the foot injury. Which receiver, based on cost, are you more excited about?
I'm more excited about Burden than I am Odunze. And I think it's just because the team seems to be more excited about Luther Burden. The fact that he could be in this position where he's going to be versatile. And that's something that I'm looking for my receivers in fantasy this year. How many of these wide receivers can line up anywhere across the formation and work at all 3 levels of the field? And I think Luther Burden can do that. And at bare minimum, he can work in that short area and be an easy target for Caleb Williams. And Caleb needs some easy targets after his completion rate has not been great to start his career.
It's going to be fun to see how Burden does, and certainly going to be fun to see how Zay Flowers does. Check out our Fantasy Football Today podcast for a fun bet between Heath Cummings and Adam Azer regarding maybe some facial hair there. All right, Dave, the 3 guys for you, Malik Nabers, Jalen Waddle, Parker Washington. Some questions for you in regards to these 3.
All right, shoot.
Nabers coming back from the ACL tear. We know so far everything has been positive. The earliest you would draft Malik Nabers is?
Late round 2. I'm ready. I think he's close enough to being close enough, and that means that he's going to be out there week 1 for the Giants, going to be the easy target leader for that team. I think Jackson Dart isn't a total disaster as a thrower. I don't think Matt Nagy is a total disaster as a play caller. Remember, in Chicago, he had Mitchell Trubisky. I think Jackson Dart is at least one step better than Mitchell Trubisky, even at this point in his young career, and everybody's going to know to throw Malik Nabers the football. I think he's worth a pick in late round 2, and I think he'll finish as a top 12 wide receiver.
Jalen Waddle joins the Broncos after a couple disappointing seasons in Miami. Why is he a league winner?
He's going to get volume through an opportunity that he hasn't had in like 4 years. You've got to turn back the clock to 2022, the last time Jalen Waddle was getting the ball a lot in an offense and making plays with it. And when he did, when things were right in Miami in 2022, before Tyreek Hill, Tua was there. It was over 16 PPR points per game as long as Tua was on the field with Jaylen Waddle. Now it's Bo Nix. That's a step up. And Sean Payton does have a track record of hyper-targeting his number one receiver. This is another wideout that's got versatility. He can line up anywhere, and he can win at all three levels. I know he's banged up right now. The dude has played at least 14 games every year of his six-year career.
Does it bother you that we're getting Pat Bryant buzz on top of Courtland Sutton still being there?
I think it hurts Sutton more than it hurts Waddle. I think Pat Bryant could end up being real close in targets to Sutton, and I think Jaylen Waddle just runs away getting north of 7.5 targets per game.
Okay, if you've been paying attention to anything that's happened so far this offseason, Parker Washington is the most buzzworthy name in fantasy football right now. And
for good reason.
For good reason. And so you have him as a league winner. So, Dave, here we go. We got all these wide receivers in Jacksonville with Brian Thomas Jr. and Travis Hunter and Jacoby Myers, whatever order you want to put those guys in, including Washington. Right now, he's going 85th overall.
Steal.
I don't think that's going to be where Parker Washington goes. I think we're going to see him creep into round six. Is he going to be overpriced?
Jamie, I would take him in late round five in full PPR. I think he's absolutely going to be worth it. This is another one of those versatile wide receivers. Maybe you don't think of him as a winner deep down the field, and I don't think the Jaguars need to ask him to do that, given who else they have at wideout. But I think push comes to shove with the questions about the run game in Jacksonville. We can see Parker Washington continue to get a ton of targets. He had the same pace from week seven on last year as CeeDee Lamb had for the entire season, 14.4 PPR points per game. That number should at least stay steady. Drafting him in round five, six, seven, I think that that's excellent value.
Would you do that?
Seven, yes. Late round six, maybe. Yeah, this is the type of guy that I generally feel really uncomfortable with. When it's just like we had kind of 2.5 years of we kind of knew who Parker Washington was, and then we had a 6-game stretch or a 4-game stretch that's just out of this world, and then we have to draft him as if that's going to happen again. And so I'll hedge a little bit. If I'm in a draft with a bunch of people that are not on social media and they don't realize that everybody's gone insane about Parker Washington, I will definitely draft him in late round six, early round seven. But I can't get him anywhere else.
By the way, the 4-game stretch that Heath is talking about, that was his last 4 games to end the year, 19 PPR points per game.
It was awesome.
We're not drafting him based on that expectation. It's more 5 points per game lower than that, 14 PPR points per game. Yeah, I think I'm okay with that as a top 60 pick.
Do you get internet in the cave that you'll be drafting in that league?
You know, hopefully not.
All right, we'll see. All right, the three guys for me, Devontae Smith, Emeka Ebuka, DJ Moore, two of those guys dealing with injuries right now. Smith dealing with a hamstring injury, has yet to practice in training camp. Not ideal. Ebuka left with what's reported as a toe injury yesterday. Hopefully he'll be okay. DJ Moore has been fine so far. So the questions I have for myself are, is Emeka Ebuka being drafted too far ahead of Chris Godwin? I think that answer is yes, because I do think Chris Godwin's going to be much better than he was the last couple of years, or at least the last year. But Ebuka has a chance to be absolutely awesome. Let's hope that toe injury is fine.
It's minor.
Yeah, but it's still turf toe. You heard that being thrown out there.
Oh, that would be bad.
So that's something just to keep an eye on there. But I think round three is the right spot for Emeka Ebuka. When you look at Devontae Smith, I also would take him in round three, but I want to see him on the field. Again, very small sample size, but 3 games without A.J. Brown. In those 3 games, averaged 16 PPR points per game. The targets were off the charts. And so hopefully he's back on the field and helping Jalen Hurts and helping maybe their social media account with Jalen Hurts throwing the ball a little bit better to a guy like Devontae Smith. For DJ Moore, can he do what Stephon Diggs did in Buffalo, which was absolutely awesome when he first joined the Bills? By all accounts, DJ Moore has been fantastic. I would throw out everything you saw from him last year when he only got 85 targets. In the 2 years he played with Joe Brady, when Brady was the offense coordinator in Carolina, and DJ Moore, early part of his career, at least 13.9 PPR points per game in those 2 seasons. So that would certainly put him at a higher level than where he's being drafted. As you see, the 29th wide receiver off the board, I would actually take DJ Moore in round four. Very excited about him for this season. All right, the Twitter poll that we have is, which trio of wide receivers do you like better? So Heath's trio, Dave's trio, my trio. Very close poll here. So we have all three of these guys, Pickens, Flowers, Burden for Heath, Neighbors, Waddle, Washington for Dave, and Smith, Ebuka, Moore for me. Slight edge, 36.8% in my favor. Then Heath's guys next, 36.5, and Dave coming in at third. But again, very close poll for all three of these guys, 26.7. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We come back and we talk about some league-winning tight ends for you. Sam Laporta, Colston Loveland, Tucker Kraft. Can they help you win your fantasy leagues in 2026? That's next on FFT. Well, Welcome back to Fantasy Football. Today we have league-winning tight ends for you. Three guys that are hopefully going to help you dominate your fantasy leagues in 2026. For Heath, it's Sam Laporta. For Dave, it's Colston Loveland. For me, it's Tucker Kraft. Heath, make your case why Sam Laporta is a league winner.
I don't think it should be too hard to make the case because he's already had a tight end one season. He has been outstanding already in his young career, and now he gets Drew Petzing, the guy who orchestrated the Trey McBride breakout, came from the Kevin Stefanski system. Both of those play callers have sent about 27% of their targets to tight ends over the last three seasons. Could be a career high in targets for Sam Laporta, and he has, as he's shown, that high touchdown ability because he plays in one of the best offenses in football. Don't be surprised if he has 1,000 yards and double-digit touchdowns and finishes as tight end one again.
You're drafting him when?
I generally draft him in round six.
Round six, okay, which is a little bit ahead of his ADP. Right. I think the fun thing about this Lions offense, we talk about all the time, whenever they're indoors, they're awesome. Only five outdoor games before week 18. So the first 17 weeks of the season, which is what matters for fantasy, he's only going to be outdoors.
I think it's 10 of their last 11 are indoors.
Yeah, it's just a great stretch, and hopefully, you know, Jared Goff, some offensive line concerns right now, but and enough
That's
targets.
That's actually good for Laporta.
Potentially. You know, you don't want to see Jared Goff on his back, you know. And
yeah, you don't want to see Darnold on his back.
Don't want to see Darnold on his back either. All right, let's talk about Colston Loveland because he's everybody's breakout tight end this year.
Yeah.
Great to end last year. How good could he be?
Well, we saw last year, last six games, 7.3 targets per game. That's rare to see from a rookie. Did Laporta as a rookie ever get north of seven targets per game?
He had 120 in his rookie
season.
That's
really, really good. And so if that, and who was his play caller then that rookie year?
I think that was Ben Johnson.
It was Ben Johnson. So I wonder if Ben Johnson looks at Loveland the same way he looked at Laporta once upon a time. And I would argue that at this point in their careers, Loveland is a little bit more exciting and definitely has more upside. You look at the games where he's had five plus targets, he's averaging 15.7 PPR points per game. Six plus targets goes up to 21.2. Massive upside for a tight end that I don't hesitate to take when I see him in round four or late round three in full PPR.
It's just going to be, hopefully, this is the type of guy you mentioned, you know, Parker Washington buying into the late round or late season finish. Can it carry over this year? Like, this guy, everybody's all in on. Everybody wants to get a piece of Colston Loveland. Any analyst draft I've done, you see him sometimes going round two. Like, that's how people are excited. But I think you have him ranked as your second tight end, right?
He is my tight end two ahead of Trey McBride, and I would take him in round three.
So it's just one of those situations where can he do what he did last year when there was no Romo Dunze for the majority of that? He had the foot injury. Now maybe Luther Burden in, out. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that
listen,
helps a lot.
I'm not going to fight anybody on Colston Loveland. Yeah. There's just no argument that makes sense against Colston Loveland, except maybe the position being as deep as it is, and are you reaching for somebody that may not ascend to those heights? Sorry.
No, I do think that like the important thing, because I said Burden, Dave said Loveland, neither of us hates Odunze. They lost 150 targets from last year in DJ Moore and Olamide Zaccheaus. Just concentrate those amongst
yes,
the three
guys. Yes, they're going to do that.
They can all three be awesome.
Yes, they could all three be awesome. That would be fun. And speaking of concentrated targets, we finally have that for the Packers because they lose 135 targets from both Romeo Doubs and Dontayvion Wicks leaving last season. Tucker Kraft coming back from the ACL tear. Hopefully he's going to be 100%. But he was awesome last year before getting hurt. He scored seven touchdowns in his first six games. Hopefully he's going to be at that level of production after the knee injury. But a guy that you can get, it's going to be fun to debate, you know, that Laporta, Kraft, Pitts, Fannin group, you know, after you get past Loveland and Warren. I just think that if Kraft is healthy, he's going to have an absolute monster season, averaged one of the best yak tight ends that we've seen in NFL history.
So
could be absolutely fantastic. All right, the Twitter poll we have here is which of these tight ends would you rather have? And looking at it here, it's based on cost. So Loveland in round four, Laporta in round six, Kraft in round seven. I'm sure that's what the reason that he won is because of the value. But just over a little under 1,100 votes here, 49% going for Tucker Kraft. All right, we take a break. When we come back, it's all of your questions. Thank you for sending them to on X using the hashtag AskFFT. We're answering your league-winning questions next year on Fantasy Football Today.
In business, there's no room for guesswork. Every shipment matters, every deadline counts. When you're trying to keep operations running smoothly, the last thing you need is uncertainty. That's why reliability is at the core of USPS Ground Advantage. From the moment your package is first scanned in, it moves through a secure nationwide network, aiding in a timely and accurate delivery. You get near real-time tracking so you can keep up with your shipments. And with affordable upfront pricing, there are no hidden fees or surprise surcharges to throw off your cost sheets. It all adds up to predictable deliveries you can depend on. Because knowing your logistics are handled lets you focus on everything else, your customers, your team, and the future you're building. Visit usps.com/groundadvantage to start shipping with confidence. USPS Ground Advantage. We mean business.
Wrapping up our show here on League Winners with some league winning questions. We got this one from RJ. Which sleeper player will be the one that you will be the one that will put you in the championship game? Your sleeper is?
Well, I don't get to say Jonathan Brooks anymore.
Not anymore.
Yeah, you can't. Corey Kroski Merritt.
Dave?
That's an interesting one. I'm still drafting KC Concepcion in every league I can.
I like that. I'm going to go with Marshawn Lloyd just with Josh Jacobs being a little bit banged up. Next question. Well, it's a big one. All right. Pick two sleepers, 10-team PPR. Pick two keepers, excuse me. Jamar Chase, Trey McBride, Emeka Ebuka, Bashir Tutin. Dave?
I would keep Ebuka and Jamar.
Ebuka and Jamar?
Agreed.
Agreed. All right. We'll go 3 for 3. Next. Pick two keepers, PPR, 3-year keeper, so I guess you keep him for 3 years. Achan, for 7th-round keeper, K3, what does that mean?
You can keep him for 3 years.
3 years, oh, got it. All right,
so
Bucky,
one.
For the 11th round, and Colson Loveland for the 10th round.
Yeah, I would keep, if I'm reading this the right way, Achan and Loveland.
Yeah, I think so.
I would as well. All right, next one.
He's going to have Nacua and Gibbs, too. Congrats on your win, Bob.
And the first overall pick. Oh, he's getting Gibbs. Excuse me. 10-team auction draft, half PPR with 2 wide receivers and 1 flex. What tier of quarterback and tight end are you generally targeting in that format, Heath?
10-team, so I will not hesitate to still go after the top tight ends, but I am not spending anything on quarterback.
I'll spend
almost nothing on a quarterback.
Like $2, right, for 2 quarterbacks. That would be the max. I agree.
All right, last question. Oh, that's it. All right. So make sure you're checking out our Fantasy Football Today podcast. We appreciate all the questions there. We'll answer more on our mailbag, which is coming up on Friday. And please make sure you're donating to our Draftathon to benefit the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Dave, how can they find out our page on Tiltify?
Go to Google, search for FFT Donate 2026, all one word, and you will go to our page. Amazing things up for auction, and it's for a great cause, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital.
We really appreciate that. We appreciate everybody watching, and make sure, again, you listen to our Fantasy Football Today podcast. Reith Cummings, Dave Richard, I'm Jamie Eisenberg. Thanks for watching Fantasy Football Today.
Let's talk about Vuori clothing. I love these clothes. I love the versatility. That's what really stands out. When I went to the website, the first thing I saw was the tennis shop. So of course I got some tennis shirts from Vuori, and they're great to play in, but also I could just wear them around the house or out to lunch. Again, versatility. That's what you're going to get from Vuori clothes, whether it's shorts, shirts, hoodies, men's clothing, women's clothing, whatever. How about the Vuori Core Shorts? People love these. Ideal for fitness, running, and training, but also stylish and comfortable enough to wear all day. Make sure you check out the Core Shorts. Vuori is an investment in your happiness. Some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. For our listeners, they're offering 20% off your first purchase at Vuori.com/fantasyfootball. That's Vuori.com/fantasyfootball. Exclusions apply. Visit the website for full terms and conditions.